520 ESPN, 1530. My name's Mo Egger. I was watching the UD Duquesne broadcast last night. Steve Wolf had the call, I think, from his basement on CBS Sports Network, and was thinking to myself, on top of hey, the Flyers are playing okay, I got to get Steve on the show to talk some college hoops because it has been forever. And so as soon as they signed off, I called. He answered. He agreed to join me, and he's here now. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good, Mo, and that's exactly – I was a little stunned. Yeah, I got to tell you, the media table in my new studio is really nice. You know, sit there in my slippers and my dog by my side and doing games in my office. It's a little different situation.
You know, ordinarily, because I'm watching it last night, and, you know, they do a nice job. It sounds like you're there. If you don't know better, it sounds like you're there. And I said, okay, game's going to end. I'm going to wait like 20 minutes and call him because he's going to be down 75. And then I'm watching the postgame show, and there you are, like in your den. And I go, if I wait 20 minutes, he's going to have a cold one in his hand. He's not going to want to talk to me. So it worked out.
It's exactly right. I mean, I went downstairs. My son's home from school, so I went downstairs with my wife and my boy, and we watched a movie. So I actually like it. I have no travel issues, no worrying about missing planes or catching planes or traffic. It was pretty good, but it's hard to really get a feel. I like to talk to the players. I like to talk in person to the coaches. You know, you see what they look like. You see their personalities. You can see their inflections when they come off the court. And there's a lot of things you can't see when you're doing it from your house. And, you know, and then everybody that's watching the game has an idea. I called Donaher Mick Donaher, which is his nickname. It's his nickname, right? Yeah. And a Dayton Flyer had the audacity to call me out and say that, I know you're a Xavier guy, but you don't even know the greatest coach in Dayton's history. His name's Don. And I'm like, what a turd. You know, it's like, really? You know, in this world we live in, you're going to call me out because I called him by his name that I, you know, Coach Donaher or Mick. I mean, that's what we always call him. But his name's not Nick.
No.
Well, I know his name's not Nick. But anyway.
Everybody watching is perfect. When you talk with, I don't know, a slightly less than halfway through the season, I guess. When you talk with coaches around the sport and they talk about coaching during this time that we're in, what do they describe? What do they say is the hardest part?
On the record or off the record?
Give me both.
Well, on the record, hey, it's a learning experience. You know, we gotta move forward. We're gonna have issues during the game. Blah 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 blah. You know, everybody's going through this, and we just gotta fight through it. Roles change every week instead of, you know, once every 3 weeks or 4 weeks. You know, somebody gets hurt, you change a role. But with COVID, they change every week because you don't know what you're doing and whether or not a certain guy is going to play or going to be in protocol. Now, off the record, you know, the good news is that they can't go anywhere. You know, if you have a practice facility and, you know, you have a place where they eat, they go to their dorm. They go to the practice facility and they go to eat someplace. So they're not bummed out about that. They feel like a lot of these guys have a lot more time to spend around each other, so it helps the camaraderie and the teamwork. But they also say that, you know, they think it's crazy. You know, some of the Big Ten coaches I've talked to, they said 21 days is absolutely stupid. I mean, you know, let's be smart. Let's take care of these kids. But 21 days, I mean, you can almost have a baby. I mean, come on, let's give me a break. I mean, it made no sense. And, you know, my son got caught up with it. So these coaches are saying, let's be realistic. You know, I always thought that sports was politics free, but it's not. And everyone, you know, you have the agenda by everybody on both sides. You know, let's wear a mask. Yeah, you should wear a mask in public. But, you know, then I see these coaches with, you know, the masks, their nose and their mouth, you know, I'm not covered. Well, what's going on there? You know, they have to have it on the bench, but when they talk to their players, they have to take it off.
Right.
It's crazy. So there's a lot of coaches that are sitting there wondering, you know, trying to put 2020 in the rearview mirror, but in 2021, it's even been worse for basketball. There's more cancellations now than there were, you know, in December. So, you know, I think that everybody's struggling with it. And it's hard. The other thing is recruiting. How do you recruit? You know, I feel terrible for the senior class this year in high school because you can't, you know, unless you're a blue chipper, you're not going to get recruited. You know, if you're a mid-major guy, you just got to wait to the last minute and hope you get picked up because they can't get out. They can't have you on campus. And you really can't judge a lot of these guys because you can't go to the tournaments. The AAU tournaments have been canceled. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on. But it is interesting how a lot of the coaches approach it. Anthony Grant was basically saying, you know, I don't know. I mean, he was one of the most honest guys.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
said, you know, I don't know. Well, who do you think's going to come out of this? And, you know, I other than Crutch, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get a little honesty when it gets into this kind of situation, but it's bad all the way around for everybody, I think.
Yeah, it is, and there's no playbook, right? There's no precedent. I don't think there's any one right way to do it. Xavier started their season. They played three games Thanksgiving weekend in 3 days, and aside from that first game against Oakland, they were not overwhelmingly good. They very easily could have lost. You might argue the Bradley game they should have lost, but they at least, for a team that's got some guys they need who came into the program that have to play this year, three games worth of experience, and since then, they've had some hiccups, but hit the ground running. On the other hand, they don't play any games like that. There's right. no three games in 3 days. There's no MTE. That's not the wrong decision either, but I think it's taken some time for John to have an idea of what his team is, it's been interesting to watch how different schools have handled that, especially with their younger players.
You took the words out of my mouth. I mean, Xavier took a risk. You know, Greg Christopher and Mario Mercurio said, listen, we're going to try to get as many games as we can in early. A lot of teams said, hey, let's don't do that. So they took a risk. And the SEC took a risk. The Big Ten took a risk the other way. So you don't know what's right and what's going to work out. But it is interesting that Johnny Brannan not only didn't have games, but he couldn't do scrimmages. They weren't allowed to have the referees over there to do scrimmages or play practice games or anything. You know, no exhibition games. So when you look at that, it does put a different light. I did a game the other night, and there were so many fouls called in the first half. I talked to the coach after the game. He goes, Steve, we haven't had referees. So we did, you know, we were doing what we didn't practice. So you don't really know what the emphasis are based on what the referees do. Every year it's different. And they're taught and told by the referees, NCAA, this is what you're going to do, what you're going to call. These are points of emphasis. So you usually get those out of the way in the preseason. What Johnny Brannan's going through is a lot of hangover from the beginning of last year. I mean, at the end of last year, he had him humming. You know, Vogt looked like one of the guys. He was like a first-team All-AAC center. He's the biggest guy on the court. He's the strongest guy on the court. He's lost his confidence, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, so now you got to look to other guys. And the one thing I'll tell you about JB is that I sent him a text the other day after the SMU game. That's a big game. That's a hard game to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, travel and playing there, no fans, and against a good team. And to win that game was big. They have to really get back to the basics defensively. And they have to have somebody coming off the bench. Davenport in the game, playing his tail off. What I love about Davenport, he plays hard. He may not make every shot, but he's going to go up for every rebound. He's going to be involved in the mix defensively. That's what Carl Kramer taught him over at Moeller. You know, so who else is going to step up? This is an opportunity for a lot of kids that may not have gotten this opportunity if it was a regular season.
It just feels to a degree, and they've got an interesting mix, and you know they've had a couple of kids leave the team. It doesn't feel like all the pieces fit. You talk about Chris Vogt. John Brannan wants to play faster tempo. I'm not sure that fits with what he can do and with what his deficiencies are, and I think you combine that without an obvious go-to guy over the last 5 or 6 minutes. I think all that adds up to a team that is going to struggle out of the gate, which is what's happened.
Exactly, and you know what? They struggled last year for different reasons. You know, it was the entanglement of a coach and a player, you know, trying to say, hey, we're going to do it my way. John Brannan hasn't had a full year of coaching. He doesn't have all of his pieces that he wants. You know, when John Brannan, he's there for a reason. What he did at Northern Kentucky, what he did at a small period of time when he was coaching in the postseason with Alabama, this is a guy that knows what he wants. He's just got to get the right pieces. And, you know, and I think that his game is get it up and down. He wants to shoot the three ball, but they have to play good defense. He wants out transition. and they're not getting it. And when you don't make a lot of shots, you can't set up your pressure defense. You know, I think that it becomes mental. And, you know, against Xavier, I really felt that if UC would have gotten the ball inside the vote, there was nobody that could stop him. You know, maybe he doesn't score on the first three or four buckets. You keep feeding that post until he's got three fouls on a couple guys. But, you know, they didn't. They stopped. And for Xavier's benefit, that, you know, it worked out. Xavier defended him very well, and he wasn't able to get going. But, you know, when you have the biggest guy on the court is that strong, he's got to have the fortitude, and he's got to have the mental strength to be able to stay in there and keep fighting. And that's what they need from Vogt. And if they don't get that, they better run. They better be fast because they're going to be small.
You talk about the Musketeers, and look, they've walked a tightrope, certainly did against Providence, came back and won that game. Same for the Marquette game where Kunkel hits the shot. We talked about some of the close calls they had early, but what's fun to think about is how good some of those freshmen are going to be in two or three years.
Well, you know, they've had COVID, now we have a season-ending injury. You know, I talk to Xavier fans, like, well, they on this and they keep doing that. I think it's the same guy that thought I called Mick Donaher Nick. You know, hey, oh, you know, this, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. And, oh, my gosh, they're the terrible shooting team, and then they go play Oklahoma, and they shoot, break school records. You know, it's the same thing that the Bearcats are going through. It's just different uniforms. But I think Travis Steele has his guys in place right now. He's got somebody who can run the point in Paul Scruggs. Is he perfect? No. But I'll tell you what, he's the guy you want leading your team. You know, and people don't understand why Carter's in the game. Well, if you watch a whole game, you understand. You're not looking at him getting, you know, 12-12. You're looking at him getting 4-4 and being the guy that sets some great picks and makes a couple really good passes. So, you know, they got their pieces together, and they have a lot of guys that can shoot. They got guys coming off the bench that can square up and knock it down. So, and right now, the Big East, nobody really knows what the Big East is going to be. So I think that they're in a good position, if the season can go on, to really make a run. And the fact of the matter, shooting those threes at the end of the game, two different guys knocking down threes to win the game as the time expires, that's pretty good. That's pretty important. They didn't have that last year.
No, no doubt about that. All right, one more. You had them last night. Dayton beats Duquesne. Jalen Crutcher, I thought, was pretty good. They've lost three games by 2 points or less. At times this year, he's looked like the guy that a lot of us thought was going to be the A-10 player of the year. At times this season, he's looked lost without Obi Toppin. And frankly, at times, it seemed at times like he's not that engaged. I don't want to make it as simple as Jalen Crutcher goes, so go the Flyers, but that's been this team so far this season. Give me a 10-game in assessment of my alma mater.
Well, I think that Jalen Crutcher's a real deal. This is a guy that every game they've won, he's been there at the final possession, except last night when it was a pretty much of a blowout. But all new pieces of puzzle. It's very, very hard for him to come in this year knowing that they have a lot of injuries. Guys that really they thought were going to help out this year and give some good minutes, and they haven't been able to use them. Now, you got Ibby Watson, who's a nice sidekick, but playing the second fiddle to Obi, like he's doing this year, or like he did last year, I should say, is a lot different than being the man. You know, you've seen that when Najee Marshall came back after blew it and those guys left. You have to learn your role. So he's trying to do that balancing act of doing it all by himself, which he had to do in the first half to keep them in the game, to the second half trying to get everybody involved. You know, and so it looks like he's not engaged, but people don't realize last night he played against Marcus Weathers, who had 12 points in the first 7 minutes of play. Do you know who guarded him the rest of the game? Jalen Crutcher. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where I love what Anthony Grant does. He's guy really gets the most out of his team. His players love him. He's a player coach. He's tough, but he allows them to make mistakes. He allows them to also go out and try different things. And I think that Jalen Crutcher, Amseal is going to be a heck of a player. Like I said, Watson, you got some of those young guys coming off the bench. This is a team that will, I think, is going to be one of the best teams in the A-10 at the end. Right now, you look at these, they're playing very well. But I think at the end, you got to look at Dayton as being a contender.
Awesome stuff as always. Enjoy your trip. We'll do it again soon. Thanks so much.
Hey, Mo, take care, buddy. We'll get to lunch when I get back.